and I've noticed comes to me. Defense is going in, ex-party to continue again, robbing the carrier blind. Start to oppose, picking up the pace. All I can see is the client's face, asking me why the judge won't let us try.
Good morning, everybody. We're another exciting adventure we're going to take part in today is a remote session of the Justice Team podcast. Today's topic is something unfamiliar to most, familiar to some, and it's something that the legal industry really needs to catch up on, and that is technology. If anyone's been in a courtroom lately, it's still kind of archaic. They've got old books. Some kids don't even know what books are anymore, but maybe they'll never know. Maybe they won't need to know, but we really got to catch up the court system to the rest of the industry. And we have some fantastic panelists here today that are going to talk about how they are helping the law catch up. And hopefully we all get there. I'm going to start from, I don't know how everyone else is going to see this, but I'm going to start to immediately next to me. We have two beautiful women. Will you please introduce yourselves?
Oh, go ahead. I'll go first because I'm the older twin. I'm Cameron Villegas. I am part owner of KW Court Reporting. I've been a court reporter for about 12 years, and we've owned KW for about 7 years.
And I'm Whitney Kumar. I've been a court reporter for about 15 years, and we're partners. And, you know, like she said, we've been in business for about 7 years now.
And you're the younger twin?
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously. I'm 6 minutes younger than my twin brother. So
I'm 1 minute younger.
She's 1 minute younger.
Wow. You know. So, Whitney, did you start out doing like, you started earlier than your sister?
Yeah, I actually did. I started, a year and a half before you? I started, I've been reporting now for 15 years. So I started reporting as a depo reporter, and then I started working in the courts, and I was an official reporter for 5 years. And then the layoffs happened, and then that's when we started our business together, and we've been now agency owners for the last 7 years.
All right, we'll get back to what that means and what the whole court reporting is and how it started. We'll go over to Greg Hong. Greg, introduce yourself and what do you do and how can you help?
Of course. My name is Greg Hong. I'm the co-founder and CEO at Steno. We are a court reporting agency as well, and we're focused on more of the technology elements of what we can bring to the table. My background is in a number of different tech startups. Most recently, I was at a company called Reserve and ran and operated that. We sold it to American Express and Resy about 2 years ago, and that's when we started Steno. And we have a strong belief, kind of as your intro mentioned, that this industry could use a lot more tech than it currently has. And we're here to bring some of that tech to help a lot of attorneys be able to take better depositions, and that's what we're here for.
All right. Well, using that segue, we're going to talk to an attorney that's very bad at taking depositions, but excellent at research and writing. And Pratik, how are you going to leverage your knowledge of the law to help other lawyers like myself?
Yeah, thanks, Brad, for that wonderful intro. My name is Pratik Shah. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Esquire Tech. And what our company does is really help with discovery. I mean, your firm uses it. You guys know. The reality is, discovery is inefficient. And like Greg, you know, and Cameron and Whitney, I think we all realize that there's a lot of inefficiencies in a law firm, and there's a lot of inefficiencies in the way law firms practice. And we're probably, our industry's probably what, 15 years behind a lot of the other industries when it comes to using technology to make our lives a little bit easier. And so just like Greg and just like Cameron and Whitney, I want to be a part of the future and be a part of the way law firms run in the future.
All right, so I'm going to ask a really random question to everyone. What year did you get your first phone, and do you remember what kind of phone it was? Cell phone, I'm talking, not landline. Greg, how about you?
99. It was a Motorola flip phone. I was a senior in high school, and it was full of plastic, and it was just all kinds of awesome.
Cameron, Whitney, did your parents let you have a phone?
Well, we were seniors in high school, and they got us our first car. It was included with one cell phone that we had to share. And it was for emergencies only, and we had to keep it in the glove compartment, and we had to only use it if there was an emergency. Yeah. And there was like, we go like our mom, dad, and that was it.
Yep. Pratik?
Yeah, for me, I was probably, I think, a junior or senior in high school, and mine was the Nokia brick phone where you could play Snake. That was probably my first phone.
I think that was my first, too. I was in college, though. I guess I'm older than everybody, man.
Yeah, you are. It's obvious, so, Brad.
Yeah, it's by a lot. Yeah, I don't think it's a little bit. It's by a lot.
Yes, by a lot.
God, this is... I'm going to have to lay into you guys if you're going to give it back. That's fine. If you can give it, you got to be able to take it.
Yeah.
So court reporting is a nexus that Cameron, Whitney, and Greg all share. And Greg, you have an interesting, archaic device behind you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is, and then Cameron and Whitney can talk about maybe even the history of the evolution of court reporting and how it's probably surpassed the courts. But it's a nice little intro to what we're going for today.
Yeah, my background is a old school Steno machine, and it's a callback to back when they used to use ticker tape to actually report. And in all honesty, Cameron and Whitney, if you guys want to jump in there, you guys probably mentioned it prior to our call. You guys,
yeah, you know what? Learned on this. You know what? So many people think of court reporting as this antiquated profession that's going to be taken over by technology. You know, but the truth is technology has made our profession stronger, and we're able to deliver a better product more efficiently now. And like, you know, like that prop, I love that in the background. That's what we learned on. Yeah. And before we started reporting, you know, reporters were using those manual machines and taking that tape and translating that steno, you know, into English using a typewriter. So you can imagine how long it took to get a transcript back. And now then CAT softwares came about, and now reporters could hook up their machine to a computer, and it was doing simultaneous translation. So now an attorney can walk out of trial, and by the time they pull into their driveway, they can get a final transcript from the court reporter, you know. And then real time came about, so now we can provide, you know, a live feed to judges and attorneys, and that, you know, of the proceedings. So it really is amazing to see where we started. And where
I can vouch for that. I'm someone that watches TV with closed captioned on all the time. Like, my dad used to do it because he...
Our dad does too.
And then I got used to it, and now I put it on all the time so my kids can learn like what the words are.
Yeah. But
you guys are doing that in trial, and that's very beneficial for the judge can read along and hear. And sometimes that helps, especially with names and places. And how familiar are you guys with... medicine and medical terms, because you've been doing it so long?
And when you're in court reporting school, you take actually medical classes, and you take Latin classes, and you take medical terminology. So these all the things we're trained in. And it's funny because that machine that's in the background, that was our first machine in court reporting school. And we learned to transcribe on there with the tape, and we would take it to a typewriter and actually transcribe it, because the school wanted us to learn, you know, the old school way of steno.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny that you brought up the AI, the
closed captioning,
because just the other day, a friend of ours posted this screenshot of two different news stations, C-SPAN and PBS, and one was using a court reporter, a closed captioner, to take down everything, the inauguration, actually. And then the other PBS was using an AI voice to text, you know, for the subtitles. And so what's funny is during Amanda Gorman's beautiful poem, the court reporter wrote, "A country bruised but whole, benevolent but bold." And then on the other station, PBS, who was using the AI software, translated it as, "Is bruised but whole, whole benevolent but bold fierce." So, you know, technology, you know, has not been, you know, it's not there yet for AI, but it is incredible to see what it has done with the court reporter skill set and the technology combined, and where we're at now. So it's pretty incredible.
I think you guys make an important point, though, and I want to echo it, which is court reporters are the gold standard of doing court reporting. There is no replacement, no technology that can replace what they're doing. Emulating what a human being can do, and really even playing referee in between two parties and making sure that people aren't speaking over each other, is so critically important. And when, especially now in a remote setting, when you have all these audio feeds coming in together collectively, and we're all receiving it on one device with one set of speakers, there's no, I can't hear what's happening on my left side and what's happening on my right side, or what's happening, you know, at the long end of the room. It is critical that we really lever court reporters, human court reporters, to do the work. And for any attorney that's out there, it's important for them to understand that if they really want the most accurate transcript, they need to use a real reporter.
So during the whole, you know, quarantine, COVID shutdown, how did the court reporting practice change? And what does it look like now that's different than when it was February last year?
Less commuting.
Yeah, less commuting. Yes.
I mean, yeah, the pandemic definitely pushed things, you know, forward really, really fast. And so when this pandemic happened, you know, we knew, okay, well, we can do remote proceedings. We've been doing Zoom depots for out-of-state attorneys and different things. But the biggest hurdle we saw coming up was, well, what about exhibits? You know, what about these cases that have a high volume of exhibits? You know, attorneys are not going to want to share their screen and accidentally show something they didn't intend to, or they're flipping through pages and all that. And so right away, we started researching and demoing all these different products, these exhibit management tools. And we found one that we absolutely love. It's called Agile Law. And so right away, we started doing training for attorneys and educating them and trying to make them feel comfortable with it. And so then, but now we had this problem. It was, you know, we were doing Zoom and then Agile Law on two separate devices. And we thought, well, how can we get this into one platform, you know? And so we were kind of at this crossroads of, do we self-develop or do we white label with a company that's been doing it and it's tried and true and has a history of success? And then, you know, for us, it was a no-brainer. We started partnering with this company called BeTestify. And then it combines everything that we were looking for. You've got your video conference, you got your video feed, you've got your exhibits all in one platform. You've got up to 50 participants. You can, you know, mark exhibits, annotate, you can, you know, direct a witness to a certain page, you can easily go into breakout rooms. So, you know, it's just been this amazing tool for our clients. And, you know, we still have issues. I don't know, you attorneys seem to have a hard time wanting to use technology, but we do. We're constantly doing on-demand training and demos, you know, whatever we can do.
Yeah, I sat in on one of the demos, and it's phenomenal how technology can make things a lot easier. And I think Greg mentioned it, just less travel time. I'm able to do a deposition, a mediation, and a podcast recording all in one morning, and it can be done without ever leaving the house. And I think it's a little bit more effective. Like, Greg, what kind of software do you guys use for your depositions that can help attorneys be better in practice?
Yeah, so we built our own. It's called Steno Connect. We have a background in technology. We have a team of engineers that, you know, really from the start. And I think there's two parts of this that we recognize from the start. One, which I think Cameron and Whitney articulated so well, which is part of this is just training attorneys. And part of that is, you know, on every single depot, we always have a moderator there. We always have someone that's on an hour beforehand to really make sure that everyone's technology is working, their computers are working, and so forth. And that's critical to the depot taking process. If people can't see each other and hear each other, it doesn't matter what platform you're using if your devices and your hardware isn't up to the task. And I think that's so critically important why we join all of our calls an hour ahead of time, to just make sure that everyone is up and running correctly. I think beyond that, though, you know, some of what Cameron and Whitney kind of saw in the marketplace, we saw as well, which was using disparate products and trying to join them together under one umbrella really doesn't work for attorneys, which is why we built our own product that has integrated exhibit handling and otherwise. Said plainly, if I'm an attorney, you know, to use an in-person example, if I were to pass an exhibit across the table, you would never end up in a situation where the witness would then take that exhibit, walk out of the room, and then go look at the exhibit. When they're done, they walk back in the room. And that's akin to a lot of times what happens on products like Zoom, which I think Cameron and Wood would probably agree with me on this one. Look, at the end of the day, if somebody's opening a document in a separate program and then they're opening it in Adobe and that's taking over the screen, so now I can't see the people that are in the room with me, that's akin to the same example I just gave, which is somebody walking out of the room. And that's where these integrated deposition products like the one that we have and that we've built are so great, because when I go to share an exhibit now, I'm continuing to see those folks on the screen. And if they try and open that document natively, they don't need to in our product. And therein, they can just see the entirety of all the participants throughout the deposition, no matter what's being shared or otherwise. And I think that's so critical to the process.
I'm going to jump down to Pratik. I don't want to leave you alone because Pratik has developed and his company's developed something that has been life-changing for attorneys because it's their least favorite thing to do. You could poll 100 attorneys and you could play Family Feud and 100 attorneys out of 100 would say, my least favorite thing to do is discovery. So Pratik, why don't you introduce us to the platform you built, how it can help attorneys, because I think that this can be really a game changer for a large portion of our practice.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, discovery sucks. Like, let's just say it plainly, it sucks. Written discovery is old and boring. And, you know, like Greg and like Cameron and Whitney, I looked at it.
Whitney, old and boring?
No. I'm not saying, no. What I'm saying is, like them. Brent, there's only one person old and boring here and he's wearing a tie. So yeah, that being said, I'm just kidding. No, but like Greg and like Cameron and Whitney, you know, it's obvious. We look at the landscape of what's happening post-pandemic, even pre-pandemic, and we see the way law firms run. We see the way they can be run and realize, hey, there's things that need to change. And you know, Greg and Cameron and Whitney are doing amazing things in the court reporting world. And one of the things that always bothered me, you know, I started as a solo practitioner. So I did all my own discovery. I'd retype my own questions onto Word. I'd call my client, get my own, you know, get the answers myself. And the original solution to that was I'm just going to pay somebody and make them do it. And then I realized, well, that's miserable for them too. And, you know, there's a million other things they could be doing, ordering medical records, sending subpoenas. There's just a million things that need to be done. There's no reason we should be spending 2 to 3 hours a day retyping questions onto Word. It just makes no sense. And you know, I don't have a background in technology. I know Greg does, but I started asking around and I got connected with my co-founder, Dr. Slim Sweesey, who is a genius and made the vision kind of come to life. You know, he's got over 40 patents under his name and he's in the Georgia Tech Alumni Hall of Fame for engineering. So the real brains behind the operation is him. I'm just a pretty face, as they say. And so I don't know why you're laughing.
You didn't say that. Yeah, did.
You got that aura about you, like the MyPillow guy. Like people
just like the MyPillow guy. Great. That's the analogy I was going for, or that's the comparison I was going for. So I appreciate it.
Paris to be.
Yeah. But so Dr. Slim, you know, he's got a team of engineers. We built it out ourselves and, you know, we tested it. We started basically at the end of 2019 and about 8-9 months of really kind of building it out and testing it. We launched it to JHQ first and then we launched to the public at the beginning of December. And it's been exciting to see the feedback. Like you said, Brad, written discovery is everybody's least favorite part.
So for non-legal listeners, so when you get into litigation, a lawsuit is filed, each party is allowed to get information from the other party. You can't play hide the ball, but you have to ask the question to get the ball. So each party will exchange written discovery, and that means they can ask 300 questions, and they'll type it out on their Word document, and it'll be 300 questions about, you know, what did you eat this day? What were you wearing this day? What's your background here? What body part hurt? And then Pratik or his firm would get that piece of paper, that 300 questions, and have to respond to that. They would have to have somebody in the office retyping each question, meet with the client to get responses to that question, have an attorney review those, make the question and responses kind of in legalese, objective things that they should object in. And this process takes a very long time for just answering a question that can be done in a deposition, right?
Right.
Cameron, Whitney, and Greg, these depositions can be done in 3 hours, or you could sit down and take 20 hours to respond to discovery. That's so right. Pratik's solution has cut the responding to discovery in what usually would take probably 8 hours into maybe 30 minutes. It has really streamlined. So why don't you just tell us how that works?
Sure.
So from the document coming in to responding to it, how does that process work?
Yeah, it's super easy. I mean, you know, we get the documents in a PDF, right? Whether we get it by mail, we end up scanning it, or we get it by fax and it goes to our email, or they email it to us now during, you know, the pandemic. And it's in a PDF. Now, what most people do is they OCR it, they copy and paste the question over. Instead, you just take the PDF, you log into Esquire Tech, you drag and drop the PDF into the website. It separates all the questions from the document. And then from there, you've got a couple options. You can send you can send the client a text message link that they just click, and it takes them to like a secure website that they can just, you know, answer the questions on their cell phone. They can voice text into it. Just like if they were to voice text, they can speak into their phone to answer the questions. Like you said, it's always faster if you're in a deposition, you can just say the answer. You could do the same now through your phone. The text messaging, the clients just love. It just fits into their lifestyle a lot better than sitting down at a computer answering questions. And just as much as, you know, paralegals and some lawyers don't want to spend 3 hours on the phone with their clients, clients don't want to spend 3 hours on the phone with us. And so it's not like they love doing it either. So sending it to them by text just makes it easier for them. And then when it comes to the objections, like you said, Brad, you know, there is a closed universe of objections. There's not unlimited objections. And so we put a bunch of default objections into the system where a menu pops up and people can just one click their objections in, and then it auto populates the information with case law. But people can customize the objections, add in their own, and they only have to do it once. This is a lot of stuff where since it's repeated, you know, over and over for every case, Dr. Slim and I looked at it and we're like, this is stuff that is repeated consistently. We can just make a system where people can just do it once and then it's done, and you don't have to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and waste your life doing discovery.
Yeah. A lot of people are wasting their lives. Like usually the 1 to 2 year lawyers, all they're doing is discovery, discovery, discovery.
And one thing I want to add in there, springboarding off of what Cameron and Whitney said, as well as what Greg said, you know, lawyers are very, very slow to adapt new technology, even if it makes their practice more efficient. But I think one thing lawyers need to realize is that their competitors are adopting and they're providing a better service for their clients. They're providing, you know, if your client's being deposed and they go into a virtual depo and it's, you know, super nice and it looks awesome, or you send them a text message link for discovery and you're a law firm that's ahead in tech, they're going to tell their friends about it. Wait, you had to go in the office to answer discovery on your case? I was able to do it from my phone. Why isn't your lawyer doing this? So, you know, it's those kinds of things that like, okay, yeah, I understand everybody's been doing it a certain way for 15 years and it's hard to change your process, but you're either going to be left behind or you're going to join, you know, the firms that are going into the future. And you don't want your competitors adopting something that you're not.
Yeah, we've adopted using Esquire Tech for our firm for discovery, and our 1 to 3 year lawyers that were doing it the most were sending me private messages and saying, this is unbelievable. Like this saves me hours and hours each day. And like Pratik said, talking to the client, I don't love to do it. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just, it's hard to sit down for 3 hours and give someone attention, and they don't want to do that either. But if they can respond in their time, makes everyone's lives a lot easier.
You know, I think one of the things that I'm seeing as a theme, and I've seen this in other industries that I'm starting to see very clearly in this industry, is that, you know, whether it be discovery, either in the manner that Esquire Tech is doing or in the deposition taking process, the holy grail on all this is going to be, how do we start to link all these products together? So when you're taking discovery and you ultimately start tagging issues, how do we translate those issues right into a depo? So that way, during a depo, an attorney can start tagging issues while the depo is happening. And then they can take that information out of the transcript and push it right back into whatever they're using for case management. And ideally, if all of that stuff starts to integrate in a very thoughtful way, you know, you can see a world where, you know, Brad, you just mentioned it, you have associates that are saying, hey, this is saving us a ton of time. Ideally, this gets to a place where you guys...
Oh, wait, don't finish that sentence. It gets us to a place where robots replace attorneys and I save a ton of money.
Wow. No, I think where it starts to go is that attorneys start to do the parts that they're best at,
yes,
which is actually litigating and focusing on the real issues. And you guys get far more efficient and far more effective. And rather than pushing paper, which in any industry, everyone hates, you guys are doing less of that. And I think we as technology providers need to get to a place where we can help facilitate that. It's not your expertise. That's okay. And functionally, there's a huge opportunity there because, you know, as you said, no one wants to do that stuff. So if we can streamline that whole process, everyone is better off. And that's where I see it going, is a holy grail of just an integrated stack from discovery all the way through to the litigation and trial process. I mean, even trial prep right now is a pain, but if all of that stuff was consolidated in one place, and you have companies like Everlaw and Disco that are doing stuff and moving in that direction with their products, And it's going to be on us on the court reporting side and on the discovery side to kind of link all these things together in a thoughtful way.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with Greg. I think that, you know, a lot of fear of technology for lawyers comes from, oh my God, I'm going to be replaced. But it isn't that. It's that you're going to be able to do more for your clients in less amount of time. And that, you know, ever elusive work-life balance becomes a little bit more realistic for lawyers that want that. You know, I think it's different. Technology has always been integrated into law. It's just a little bit slower. You know, lawyers used to use court reporters used to use steno machines, and lawyers used to use typewriters, and then they evolved to computers. And then, you know, so
these steno machines.
Say that again.
People use steno machines.
Sorry, but there's that software that helps it, that makes it fast. You don't use ticker tape anymore, right? Let me see if I got that right. There we go. Okay. They used to use ticker tape, rewind, right? Yeah. And so the legal industry does use technology and will move forward with technology. It's just slow for some reason. And it makes no sense why you wouldn't adopt it now versus, hey, you're going to be forced to adopt it 5 years from now because everyone else is doing it. And if you're a lawyer, I mean, think about it this way. If you're a young lawyer, if you're a 1 to 2 year lawyer and you're going to go work for a firm and they're making you do discovery by hand and Bob's firm is saying, hey, we can use Esquire Tech. Well, where are you going to want to work? You don't want to go sit there and retype questions. You're going to want to go work for a firm that's going to embrace technology. Yeah. Or if you're using some antiquated deposition service, you don't want to go work there. You want to go work for a firm that is on the cutting edge and understands how to use your time and your skills efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously for firms choosing which vendors to work with, they're going to choose the ones that helps their attorneys lives, but also the clients. The clients or the people being deposed, they have no experience with this. And for them to have a very ease of entry into how to use this system, and you know, if they just open up their computer and click a link and they're ready to go, that's the system that they're going to feel more comfortable with. But mm-hmm. you know,
yeah, I mean, that's why for us, I think that's been one of the biggest challenges is getting, you know, these deponents, these witnesses, to be able to use this. And at first it was really tough. All these depots were going off because the witness doesn't have the technology
or a webcam on their computer.
Yeah. I mean, so right away it was like, I mean, we just invested in a ton of tablets and computers already, you know, downloaded all the apps and everything they needed. We've got technicians that can go to someone's house and set it up for them. So, you know, that's been a big thing is training, you know, are not only our clients, but also the deponents and getting them used to it. And so every client we say, hey, give opposing counsel our number. And we're happy to demo, train. And so we do, our staff are constantly on the phone or doing, you know, these demos for people and getting them used to, you know, getting them ready for a depo.
We'll do a mock depos with the attorney the night before or the morning of. We'll literally get out of bed and like, okay, let's hop on. Let's act like, you know, they're so nervous about doing a deposition. We all hop on and do a mock depo, help them mark exhibits, and then they're ready to go to the next day.
Greg, you see a time where, deponents are able to do this right from their cell phone, or is that going to be too hard with
I think it's just a real estate problem, right? Yeah. Like the size of the cell phone and viewing an exhibit, you know, when people are used to viewing stuff in an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and now all of a sudden they're looking on a cell phone, it doesn't translate all that well, to be frank. So you know, we've taken to doing something similar to Cameron and Whitney. We're actually sending devices out with self-addressed stamped envelopes in them. We send the devices to the deponent's home, so it's completely COVID safe. They can open the device and then we can remote access the machine. And we send devices with 4G connections as well. So it's all cell phone enabled, and then the witness can just join. They don't even have to worry about hopping onto their local internet connection. And that's been just a really big win for attorneys, especially attorneys when they're, you know, they're in the middle of trying to coordinate with opposing counsel and their witnesses. And oftentimes they'll say, oh, sorry, my witness can't show up, or my witness can't be available, or they can't get, you know, even a police officer where they're like, hey, I can't get on the police network here. Oh, great, we'll send you a device. It's got 4G in it, and it has a FedEx envelope. When you're done, you're going to put it back in the box, put the sticker back on it, ship it right back to us. And it's all, you know, it's interesting seeing that, you know, so much of this is the preparation for the depo itself. I often say that, you know, if you want to have a depo run smoothly in a remote fashion, like is happening now, it's more about the preparation than it is necessarily the technology itself. Because there's nothing worse than having a depo that starts at 10 And then having someone that thinks they know what they're doing that all of a sudden is in a new location or is on a new device, and they show up right at 9:59 thinking that it's all going to work well. And now you've got 10 people that are waiting for this one person.
And Greg, I feel personally attacked. are you talking to me?
Richie, I have a question for you. What makes you so bad at taking a deposition?
No, I'm not bad. I used to take deposition for Brad's firm. I am the worst deposition taker of all time.
I love taking depositions. It's so funny
that Brad said that because it's the complete opposite. I hate writing motions. I'm not a research and writing guy. I'm outsourced that.
Do you remember I actually took one of your depositions, the one and only?
I think it was...
Your old Santa Ana office, and you had that big round conference table. And I remember the screws on the side of the table would always get my like work clothes like ripped like every time. And I thought, did Brad plan this?
And you build them for it, right? You got to build for it.
It was a Gary Baca case. It was a defendant. And I think I was done in 15 minutes just because I'm the type of guy who like, well, so was the accident your fault?
No, your depo went 14 minutes. And I was like, that's it. And the first time I ever took a
depo. I hear that a lot.
That was quick. But the first time I ever took Bob's depo, the first time your company ever hired us, I went and drove to your old LA office. It was, I don't remember exactly where it was, but it was pretty far. And I show up personally and it went 11 minutes. And I was like, I drove out here for that.
You guys do take
and you depos. Take, yeah, yours is 14 minutes. You last a little longer than your brother, I will say.
His wife tells me that all the time.
Wow.
I'm gonna
get spicy this morning.
Throw a little curveball to everybody. The pandemic has made us all a little bit introspective and makes you really appreciate what you can do at home mostly. So I'll go around to the panel. What's one thing that you probably took for granted or didn't do as much, and now that you're home, you're finding yourself do a lot more often of?
From a personal perspective, it's just spending more time with the kids. That's been awesome. Just being able to, exactly what you said, Brad, earlier, I want to reiterate is, I've been able to take a depo in the morning. I have a lot of cases in LA, even though my office is in San Diego, and I drive up there to do an hour long witness deposition and come back, and it kills my whole day for just, and sometimes the witness doesn't show up and then it's just a non-appearance and then I got to drive all the way back. And so just being able to do everything from my home and say, hey, I'm going to jump on this Zoom link. I'm going to take this depo real quick. And then I got, another expert depo in the afternoon. And then, I'm going to show somebody Esquire Tech on a demo. And then I'm going to go have dinner with my kids. And being able to all do that from home has been incredible. I mean, I had a mediation early in the pandemic, probably around May, that was supposed to be in LA, and it went till 9 p.m. And if I had been in LA, I wouldn't have been home till 11:30 or midnight. And instead, I just click off and I'm able to go kiss the kids goodnight and see them and not have to just wait till the morning to see them.
Yeah, Pratik, that's what we're kind of us. We own our company. We're also court reporters ourselves. And we have no sales reps. It's just us. So we were just always, going, networking, taking depositions, working from home, working on our transcripts. She took trials. I mean, we were just never around. So it has slowed down and really spend more time with the family, the kids, and appreciate that.
And it's kind of nice. Now we can, instead of before, we'd have to be driving from, go see a client, visit a client, one in LA, one in Orange County, we're everywhere. And now it's kind of nice. We can schedule these, remote, visits, these Zoom, and we can visit, 10 clients in one day now and talk and, talk about what's going on, what they need. And so it's kind of nice. So we can get home at a reasonable time, mm-hmm. still see our kids and family. It's great.
Yeah.
How about you, Greg?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is the definition of home has changed. Like, working remotely is the coolest part. We were on one of the earliest steps. So for me, there was a week I worked up in Yosemite. We just worked totally remote and we were able to just go outside and enjoy the outdoors over the summer. And it was really, really cool. And we had one attorney in one of the very first remote depots. He's on the SoCal fire cases. And he says to us, Greg, check out my background right now. It's all books and otherwise law books and so forth in my office. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be up at my ranch in Montana. And it was just this total mindset shift for this attorney that had been following these cases around to wherever they may be going. He was on the road 200 days a year. And myself and him, like I've just really enjoyed being able to work from wherever. And that has been by far one of the coolest things that I've experienced in this pandemic.
Yeah, I don't think we're going back. I mean, you know, obviously, I think, you know, the vaccine and things like that, you know, we all want the pandemic to be resolved. We don't want people to be sick and dying, and we want, you know, businesses to reopen. But I think from a legal industry perspective, it was something Cameron and Whitney touched on early, is that it's unfortunate that it took a pandemic to push lawyers and the legal industry into adopting technology, because all this technology was available before. But I mean, even a simple thing like service by email, we weren't allowed to do in the code, right? It had to be fax. Even though the fax goes to my email, it makes no sense, but that's what it was. And you know, you couldn't do Zoom depots. You weren't allowed to do remote like this. I mean, yeah, you know, until you got stipulation from counsel and things like that. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted. I was just gonna say, you know, reporters had to be present with the witness, and now they can swear them in remotely. So that changed
things. Yeah, exactly. All these things that could have been done before, we just were so hesitant to. But I think it's kind of opened the eyes of a lot of lawyers and law firms and you know, service vendors in that, hey, we need to adopt and embrace technology and really kind of think about what our law firm and our business looks like 5 years from now and not, you know, 5 months from now.
I think it's going to take some remote trials and actual, and I think that some of these courts are going to start looking towards technology like Steno and KW, see how can we actually do this with jurors that may be at home? How can we make sure they're paying attention? How can we make sure that, you know, we're keeping the sanctity of the jury in place and not, you know, I think, you know, we saw that with the election, how many more people were able to vote because it was by mail.
Right.
And I think when this whole thing started, I talked to one of the owners of one of the big mediation companies, and they were afraid, like, should we even start offering remote depositions? Because I'm afraid people aren't going to want to go back in person.
Right.
Or is that adjuster that flies off from Oklahoma, is he going to want to keep doing that if he can just stay there? Is that going to make the mediations less successful because they're not in person? And, you know, for me, I found mediations are just as successful or unsuccessful based on the same reasons they were before. And none of that had to do with whether or not people were in person. Right. I'm able to meet with our clients way more than I've been able to. Stop and make lunch for the kids and come right back into the mediation. I think it's phenomenal. So I want to thank everyone for pushing the ball forward for these different aspects of the law. We have a company called Justice HQ, which has, it's a lot of elite trial lawyers and litigation. We know how to find you people because you're on our platform. But let's say an attorney out there listening wants to find how can they best get a hold of you and your services that they want to set up a deposition, and then we'll go down to you, Pratik, to talk about Esquire Tech.
Yeah, they get for Steno, they can just go to steno.com. They can email us at concierge@steno.com, or they can call us at 888-70-STENO, which is probably the easiest three ways to get a hold of us. We'd be happy to help any attorneys that are listening in.
Did you want to spell concierge for the viewers?
I can figure it out. We're a little bougie over here at Steno.
She was asking for Brad, actually. She was like,
I have Google up and I'm like typing.
Yeah, I was like, No, but you know what? With us, yeah, you can go to our website, kwcourtreporting.com. You can email us at info@kwcourtreporting. You can call us at 949-861-8668-8160. Sorry, everyone emails us. But yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, email us, go to our website. You can even book on there. You can message us on there. We have a text messaging service now on there, so you can get a hold of us. I mean, and we're available 24/7. I mean, we have people, somebody's calling us at 9 o'clock at night and they're like, I'm nervous. I have a depo tomorrow. I thought I'd be okay, but I'm kind of freaking out. And so let's hop on right now. Yeah. We are always willing to hop on with you and get, you know, practice. Do a little demo, a little practice round. So, you know, email us, call us.
But don't use that number Whitney just gave you.
Yeah.
Pratik, what's the best way to get a hold? And I do want to talk, I want you to tell everyone what your service costs, because I think a lot of people have in their mind that this is a very expensive platform. Can you please just go over that so people kind of understand what the basic entry level fee is?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I got annoyed with as a firm owner is software companies saying, you know, per user, per month, yearly contracts, and you get stuck in those things. And so I didn't want to do that. What we have is a pay-per-use option. You log in, it's free, no credit card required to sign up. You get 5 documents for free on your free trial. And then you have really 2 options to purchase. One is if you just want the shell, which is where you drop in your PDF, you get the Word document with your firm information and case stuff and all the questions, but blank answers, that's $9.95. So it's 10 bucks, around 10 bucks just
to... Is that per...
Yeah, per document. It's per document. And then if you want to use the text messaging and the objections features to really kind of build out your discovery and be done with it, that option is $14.95. So it's either 10 or 15 per document, depending on which option you choose. But it's very cost effective, you know. So if it's the way I always explain it is like, if it's 15, if you pick the Mercedes option, which is $15, and you do it for 4 documents in a set of discovery, it's $60 a case, and you know, filing fees $500. So at $60 a case to save a couple hours seems to be a very nice trade off. And to get a hold of us, EsquireTech.com, and that's TEK, EsquireTech, TEK.com. And we're at Esquire Tech on all social media.
All right, we're going to go out. But before we go out, I'm going to go around the room one more time. And I'm going to say, let's imagine a world where COVID is gone. Where's the first place you're going to go? I'll start with Pratik and come back.
Vegas. Yeah. Right. I mean, come on, right? We got to go back to where all the germs
are.
I'm
taking my answers in Vegas. I was going to say Disneyland, but I'm going Vegas.
Vegas. Let's go, all of us.
Let's all go together.
Yeah, let's go right now. Why wait?
Greg, how about you? It seems like you're taking the Vegas train.
No, I go to Hawaii. I haven't been somewhere tropical in a minute. Yeah, that sounds nice right about now.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just going to go local, and there's this place called Great Wolf Lodge. Great Wolf Lodge is the most terrible but amazing place in the world.
I mean, you're going to, even if COVID's gone, you're going to get COVID there.
Everyone can be vaccinated, you're going to get something there. That water place cannot be that sanitary.
No way. I think if you've been to Great Wolf Lodge in the past, you are immune. You're the people that aren't.
We don't have the
antibodies. Everything else.
That's what my dad says about the old country. He's like, I'm from India. We don't get COVID.
That's right.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got time for. I'd like to thank everyone for attending the panel today. I think our listeners learned a lot of valuable knowledge about technology, specifically court reporting and discovery use. Therese, let's take us out with a song, please.
Defense is going in, X party to continue again, robbing the carrier blind.